If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at Wavebreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Wavebreak Podcast. I hope 2019 is treating you well. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder of Wavebreak, and I help Shopify stores stop leaking revenue with done-for-you email marketing. And if you want to learn more about what we do at Wavebreak, you can head over to wavebreak.co, or you can click the link down in the show notes below. Now, today on the show, I'm super excited for this episode. My friend Nick DeSabato is joining me, and I'm pumped for this one because we're talking about my favorite thing, one of my favorite things, e-commerce email marketing. Nick recently has done some of the most in-depth research on e-commerce email marketing, but before we get into that, and we're going to dive deep into that, and I'm super pumped, super excited to get into it, but for the listeners who don't know Nick, he was on a previous episode of the podcast. Actually, I believe it was one of the very first episodes, and I'm going to link it down in the show notes below, but he runs a company called Draft, and at Draft, he helps online stores make more money using research-driven A/B testing. This dude is a master at research, and he's taken this insane skill of his, and like I said, like Nick, you've done a ton of in-depth research on e-commerce email programs. So let's just jump into things. Can you walk the listeners through what you've been up to and what kind of research you've been doing?
So I have a course called E-commerce Email Mastery, and it is basically I mystery shopped 30 different stores on 4 different email accounts, and one of them is the account on which I placed an order. One of them is the account on which I placed an in-stock notification. One of them is where I abandoned a cart, and one of them is where I just sign up for your general mailing list. So if you have a popover or something in the footer or something, and I just find a blank where I can put my email address without doing anything else, and I sign up. And so they're all in 4 different inboxes. And then I waited 3 months because you have to see what kind of emails come in or if you get emails at all. And then I started doing deep dives into exactly what everybody's emails look like, not just whether or not they exist, but like what behaviors trigger them, what kind of personalizations happen. And we've been kind of doing this broad scale, I would say it's not a usability study. It's sort of just a research project into online stores' email. And so we're calling it e-commerce email mastery. And teardowns don't really matter to people necessarily. They might be entertaining. I try and be entertaining. I try and make the actionable and helpful for people. But there's, I think, the summaries of everything. Like, what are people doing right? What are people doing wrong? What are the things that I'm looking for when I'm seeing whether or not your email is actually performing well? And how can you use email more broadly to catalyze a higher customer lifetime value, increased reorder rate, maybe an increased conversion rate at all for people who are just kind of tire kicking, right? How do you capture leaky revenue? Like, how do you do all of the CRO activities that my consultancy Draft usually does, but on email, right? So I think about that all the time. And I've been doing this once a week. We're in the middle of it right now, and we're going to be wrapping up in around April and then putting together this huge summary. We're updating the summary as we go. Once it's all in aggregate, then I'm going to put together my whole like set of heuristics, and then you can go through and QA your email, right? I don't see people QAing email. Like, they QA their store. They do usability tests on their store. But they don't really QA their email. Like, why is that?
So many people, they don't even send email. Like, period. Oh my God. in big stores, like, this isn't just like, oh, you run a, not to say a million a year store is like a small store, but like, we're talking retailers who are doing like millions and millions of dollars. A lot of times,
I have a 500 million crazy store. No cart abandonment sequence.
Yeah. Right?
A 500 million a year store. I'm not going to name them. You can sign up for e-commerce life site or e-commerce email mastery and get it. But yeah, like, stage an intervention, yo, that is not okay. Right. Yeah,
for real. I mean, it's crazy. And if you think that's what the big retailers aren't even doing, then imagine what the people who are, you know, running. And like I said, like, I'm using air quotes, like, smaller stores in, like, let's say the $1 to $15 million range per year. Like, just think of what's on the table there too. If the big guys aren't doing it, then that means the little guys probably, you know, definitely aren't.
And revenue from email is revenue from an audience you've already captured. You're already paying for the volume of your mailing list, right? If you're on MailChimp or Klaviyo or something like that, you're able to basically send for free, right? So if you're able to sell to them, there's no ad spend to have there. You're basically getting near pure profit money given how much people tend to spend on their ads in e-commerce. And if I could tell you right now that you would increase your top line by 20% by just having more performant email, I think you would probably drop everything and start working on email and resource for it properly and give it the like attention and care that it deserves. And again, I can't stress this enough. We've seen increases in like conversion rate of over 15% from single emails. And that's just draft. I've seen numbers in the 20-25% range from some of my colleagues. Like, I am shocked at how much everyone knows email is important and yet doesn't act intentionally about it. They don't put time or effort into it. They just let Klaviyo send out the default stuff, or they install a Shopify app that captures abandoned carts, and that's better than nothing. But you haven't optimized it. You haven't even looked at it. You haven't signed up for it. And that's not okay.
Yeah, it's not. And it's hilarious too, because like everything you're saying is totally true. And obviously I see this a lot. Like, I run a business where we go into Shopify stores, Klaviyo accounts, and we handle everything for them. But we go into these stores accounts and they're selling, you know, 5 million a year or whatever. And we look and it's like, just like you said, like, either they're just using the default Klaviyo like browse abandonment. Hey, did you forget to buy this? Blah, blah, blah. Literally the default one. This is like multi-million dollar store. And it's just, it's mind blowing. And yeah. So much of it can even be automated. And you just have to set it up once. And obviously from a conversion rate optimization standpoint and just optimizing everything, you're going to want to test it like you do anything. But at the same time, like, you just got to set it up once and you're already going to see massive profits. Like, I know for Klaviyo, like, they say that Shopify Plus merchants, for like every dollar they spend on Klaviyo, they make back $130. Like, that's insane. Like, when is the last time you ran an ad that got you that kind of ROI?
Yeah.
Probably
absolutely.
Never. 130x, that's insane. Like, that sounds like a lie, but it's not a lie, just because that's how email works.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of benefit to it, and I'm not going to spend more time browbeating people or making people feel bad about it. Let's talk about what you can do about it.
Right.
If you're setting up these email sequences and you want them to be evergreen, don't refer to new products, don't refer to the current year, don't refer to whenever you rebrand the email funnel, that sort of thing. Make sure that you are like writing in as evergreen of a language as you possibly can, right? Set up at least an abandoned cart sequence with at least one follow-up. So usually Shopify apps allow you to do this. If not, you can probably have your developers create one for you. Set up customized receipts. This is something I don't really see very often. They use just the Shopify default receipt. You can add your voice and tone at the moment in which you take somebody's money. That seems like a pretty decent win for conveying that you're a trustworthy brand. Create share to a friend, tell a friend links in the receipt email and on the thank you page of your store. Create a welcome email that fires a few hours after somebody places the order, that literally just welcomes them to the store Might provide them with a discount code if you want for their second order, or a little bit about your brand if you're like a particularly ethically minded brand or you have a specific positioning or angle. That's a very good time to be talking about your brand. Oh, in-stock notifications. Make it so that when you sign up for an in-stock notification, it sends you a confirmation email for the in-stock notification. Make it so that when you sign up for an in-stock notification, there's a checkbox underneath, probably not ticked by default because of GDPR and other privacy stuff, that subscribes you to the main mailing list. Then subscribe them to the main mailing list. If the product has not come back in stock or has been discontinued within the first 3 months, send them an email that apologizes for the inconvenience and provides them with specific actionable follow-ups so they can buy something slightly different. Maybe it's a different colorway. Maybe it's a different product in the same category. I've seen one store do that, and I have to imagine it probably captures a lot of revenue for them because somebody cared enough to give you their email address for something that they couldn't even buy at the time, right?
Right.
When it goes back in stock, send a follow-up email 48 hours later if they do not purchase that product because they wanted it at some point. Why don't they want it now, right? I think that's it for at least the bare stuff that I would end up configuring. And these are all very transactional behavioral emails. They're not an introductory subscription sequence. I'm not even telling you to ask for a review yet. Like, that helps, but you're already doing that. These are all the things people are messing up, frankly. And I would like to see more of it. I would like to see people have a deeper relationship with their customers over email, you know?
Totally. And I want to add a few things to that too. Like, totally agree with you on just kind of like the basics there, especially the abandoned cart emails. And a lot of people, they do those wrong because they think, okay, Nick told me to add this abandoned cart email. So they go and then they like, I don't know, they Google around for a template or they use this stock one. But like, you gotta, one thing that's going to take, and this is like a simple tweak you can make to just take your abandoned cart emails to the next level and to get them to just convert like, heck, 3-4x what they typically convert at. All you gotta do is think about, okay, my customers, what are their number one objections? Like, what are people asking me when they go to order? Or before they order, like maybe they care about your shipping. Like, I really don't feel like paying $8 shipping for a $20 product. Or maybe it's a sizing issue. They're like, I don't really know if this is going to fit right. Well, you can address all those objections in your first abandoned cart email without giving out a discount, because a lot of people think, oh, if I just throw a discount, it'll convert. And it does, but that's bad. Because you start to train people, and then before you know it, in Facebook groups and on the internet, everybody knows to, hey, just add it to your cart and then leave and blah, blah, blah. You get 50% off. It's sick. I just abandon every order. And it's like, wow, our abandoned cart email is converting really well. And then you check your normal revenue, and it's like, that's dipping because everyone's using your abandoned cart email. But anyway, address the objections. All it takes is add a simple FAQ to that first email, remind them what they left in their cart, and just hit up their objections. And then like you were saying with the follow-up, something that works really well is, let's say, for example, their objection was shipping. Like, I just don't feel like paying $8 shipping or whatever, right? In that follow-up email, that's when you can kind of pull the lever and say, okay, here's free shipping or whatever. Maybe it's a smaller discount, whatever it is. But really hit them with their objection too. Like, that is when it really starts to convert like crazy. Instead of just adding email to add email, like, actually think about it. That's when you can really light on the fire. And it's so easy to do. It's so simple. I mean, it's not easy, but it is simple. And before you know it, you're going to be making like thousands of dollars every single month off one email, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's common sense and it's evidence-based is what you're really talking about. You're looking at what objections customers have, and then you're figuring out a way to respond to them. One thing that I love doing with these emails is I talk to the customer service department. I'm like, what are the questions you get most frequently? And one thing that happened with an ex-client of mine called KeySmart, customers were having a hard time assembling their like new custom keychains. And okay, well, how do we deal with that? Well, we can talk about assembly on the product detail page, but they're not really ready to buy then. And also, you're not really ready to assemble a thing you haven't purchased yet. So what we did was, I think 2 days after they purchase, so it's like on its way, it might be delivered that day or something like that, we send them an assembly guide. And that's effectively the welcome email. It's not just telling them who we are and why KeySmart is interesting. It's here's how you actually put the thing together. Now don't bother emailing us. Well, you know, like you don't have to email us quite as often anymore because of that. And it headed off the customer support load and made people more satisfied. People don't want to have to email you, you know, like they don't want to have to. If they reach out to you, it means they've reached a blocker of some kind, some sort of issue. And you want to head off those issues, right? So having anything that's based in like the kind of customer support inquiries you're getting, the kind of objections your customers have, any sort of evidence that you can provide that actually fits your brand, that's it. It's good business to be putting that in. It's worth your time because people are more likely to convert if they have their objections headed off, and they're more likely to tell friends about their positive experience if they don't have to complain about assembly to you, you know?
Absolutely. And think of it this way too. Like, let's say you get this product in the mail. You can't figure it out. You're like, ah, screw it. You throw it in a drawer and you never see it again. Versus you get an email about it that's like, hey, here's how easy it is to use. All you got to do is this, this, and this. You fall in love with the product. It's a great product. So you go and order two more. You get one for your wife. You get one for your, you know, Dave at the office or whatever. And now you just got a repeat customer without even trying to, just because you were helpful. And like you were saying, you reduce the load of your customer support.
Yeah, I bought a backpack recently that's like a travel backpack. And that doesn't sound like a thing you would need like an assembly email for. I can't tell you how many straps are on this backpack. It's like a scientific notation quantity of straps on the backpack. And I look at them like, well, this isn't going to fit me. Or if it does, I'm going to configure it wrong. And I'm just going to feel uncomfortable all the time with this backpack. Literally 2 hours later, I get an email from the backpack company. And it's like, we see your product was delivered. We're hoping you're enjoying your backpack. Here's a video on how you configure your backpack. First start here, go here, go here. And I'm like, oh, God, someone, they did the exact process.
Brilliant. Right before they did the exact you almost process. Lit the backpack on fire. They got you.
Oh, God, it's mostly plastic. Oh. I would not do that. Never but mind. Yes. but yeah, like that's the sort of thing is you're looking at customer needs and anticipating what those needs are and then providing them with messaging that helps like follow through on the sale. Like you may have closed the sale, but it's really not enough to just get conversion. Like take it from the conversion rate optimizer who's saying this. It makes sense to follow through on the sale and keep teaching people and then get advocates that tell other people. I know that sounds so like lofty and like word of mouth marketing is the future, but it's true. People will tell their friends about something that they think is dope. So you need to make them know that and make it easy for them and help them thrive with your product.
Yeah. And if you think that like word of mouth isn't scalable, you're wrong because you're probably, well, like if you're in that boat, you're probably not running any like branded search campaigns because those are some of the best converting campaigns you can run. And the reason why people are looking that up isn't just because, you know, ooh, popped in my head. Ooh, I should look up this brand. Like, no, it's like, hey, where'd you get those pants? And my friend's like, hey, I got them from so-and-so. And it's like, okay, I Google so-and-so, click the link, boom, now I just ordered my pair.
I launched a book recently, and I cannot tell you the number of people who have just sent me screenshots of their iMessage conversations with other people that are like, hey, you should check this out. And it's like, oh, okay, I'll totally check that out. And then I go into my inbox and see that they have already purchased the book, right? Like,
wow.
And that's powerful, having that sort of direct recommendation. Whatever you can do to try and catalyze that is useful. I want to go back a little bit to the like email mystery shoppy bit, because I think, you know, when I began this, I was like, well, I did a bunch of like, I signed up for email account for emails from a bunch of different stores. And you as an online store may be thinking like, oh, that's cool for a consultant making an online course, right? What can I do? You know, let's talk a little bit about that. I think the best thing you can do right now, if you need a step-by-step guide for taking care of this, create a new private browser tab so it doesn't get any of your cookies or any of the gunk that you have from your normal browser. Sign up for a Google account. Just go to google.com and get a Gmail. Like, go through the process. It's 5 minutes. They make it super easy because they're Google, right? Congratulations, you now have a Gmail. Then you go into your store with that Gmail and place an order. Like with your normal credit card, do it. You know, you can refund the charge later. That's fine. Or then you get your thing shipped to you. I'm sure you, it's going to be worth the amount you just wasted on shipping. Get to your own product to yourself.
You want those points, don't you?
You want those Amex points. Right. Get you them flights. And then if you modify an email address, please forgive me if you already know this, but if you do like blah plus thing at gmail.com, right, then it still sends to blah@gmail.com. So then you make modifiers using that. That's a, you know, blah plus cart, blah plus order, blah plus mailing list or whatever it is. And then you do the same four actions that I just mentioned, right? And so you sign, you abandon a cart, just do it in another private browsing tab, use your email address, get to the next page of the form, quit off. Then you sign up for the main mailing list using another email address and make sure that they're all showing up as unique email addresses in your system. And then you leave it alone, right? And you see where all the problems are. And if you go in and you see tumbleweed and crickets in one of your email accounts, you've just lost a potential customer, right? Wait 2 weeks. I'm waiting 3 months because I want to see a lot of emails and put together half-hour videos. You don't have to do that. You can wait 2 weeks and figure this out. It is maybe 20 minutes of work for you to configure the Google account and place all of the different example behavior transactions that I'm talking about, right? And then literally set a calendar reminder at the end of it to check the Google account. Make sure you remember the password. And then you log in. And you see what has happened, right? And you don't have to be like, oh, I'm going to configure all of my email funnels ahead of time before I do this. No, you're trying to find problems first, right? You don't have to go and configure all the email funnels. You can do this right now. Like, do it right now. You can pause the podcast. Sorry, Dylan.
Oh, come on. Wait for the advertisement. No, just kidding.
This was sponsored by. But then you go in and then you figure out what's going wrong, right? And if nothing is sending, well, then congratulations. Now you figured out some basic things you need to do to send these emails, which I just listed, right? You have at least the basics of what you need to be sending along. Then you have to confirm again that they're sending. So get a new set of aliases on maybe the same Google account, different things after the plus, whatever it is, and try again, right? And see if they're actually firing and getting in your inbox. You want to make sure your deliverability is successful. And once you've done that, then you have the ability to build up from there because we're starting from nothing. I'm assuming you don't have email configured, right? Like, and that's horrifying, but let's fix it. Get it to a place where we have some ground to stand on. And then we'll get to more like 201 tactics, like here's how you build an onboarding sequence and teach people how to use your product. Here's how you give somebody an email carrot where it's sign up to download our free guide on using X, right? Or like, you know, for the backpack company, they're like, click here to download our minimal packing list. Okay, great. I go and download the minimal packing list. You know you're getting slotted into like a 5 or 6 email drip campaign that's like, here's why minimal packing is great. Here's why you need a backpack to travel minimally. Here are our backpacks and a choice of backpacks that you can purchase and so on and so forth, where you're doing a very classic. This is very common in SaaS businesses where they provide value, educational content, and continue teaching you. And then they eventually close the sale on whatever it is they're trying to provide you. Don't think about that right now. Just get it so that you're actually establishing a customer relationship with people who are trying to give you their email address. People provide email blanks and then don't do anything with it. So get yourself to a point where you can do that. And then maybe on a future edition of this podcast, we can talk a little bit more about how to set up decent email sequences and deepen the customer relationship in ways that frankly your competitors are probably already doing.
Yeah, seriously. And that was beautiful, Nick. Like I couldn't have said it better myself. And just to add on to what you said, if you have nothing as far as email goes, you don't have to go zero to hero and then be some Klaviyo ninja who has like, you know, 50 flows built out with like 5 automated emails in each one for each product that you have in your store. Like don't do that, because we both know if you add that to your to-do list, you're not going to do it. right? So start small. No. Even if it just takes, even if you're just building, and this is kind of the advice that I always like to give to people. Like, so first things first, do what Nick said. Go in, create the emails, order your own product, do all that. And then after you figure out what's broken, you don't have to do everything like the next day. All you have to do is do one small, teeny tiny small project. Just block out like 3 hours once a month. I don't know if you thought I was going to say week, but I said once a month, and build out that first thing. If you don't have the card abandonment series, take 3 hours that first month and just build it out. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't even have to do the whole objection-y thing I talked about. You can go and prove that later. But just
God, rip off a template if you have to.
Seriously.
Put up something, anything. I don't like templates, but like people don't know where to start. So
yeah, really. And you're just leaving so much on the table. And not only are you leaving email revenue on the table, but I can speak from experience, you're leaving so much more revenue on the table too, because what I've seen time and time again is when you add email to a store, you're increasing your customer lifetime value. And what does that do? Okay, well, now that gives you more money that you can spend on the front. I know you guys love your Facebook ads. You love your advertising. You want to scale your ad spend. Well, this is an easy way to do that and keep your profits up. So you add email on the back. And I've seen this firsthand. Like one of my clients specifically, we started working together. And basically what happened was they tripled their revenue in like, I don't even know what it was, like 4 months. So basically, what used to be Black Friday revenue, like Q4 month revenue, became their normal revenue. And the only difference, and I asked them, I said, what's different? Like, you just scaled up like crazy. Like, well, now that we have email on the back, we can spend a lot more on ads. And it just lit a fire, and they've been growing ever since. And it's just crazy because you think, oh, like, we just recovered, you know, I don't know, let's say $50,000 in extra revenue for them that month. But really, what we also did was light a new fire, create a new opportunity for growth elsewhere in their business, and the whole thing just grew.
Yeah, and you're diversifying your investments, right? Like, people get drunk on the levers of ad spend. They love optimizing this one thing, and it becomes this like addictive feedback loop, right? But like, it's also really dangerous. You're spending so much money on it, and so much of a percentage of your revenue is going into it that it's harming your business's margins. And you can pad your margins pretty generously by using email because it costs less. And it's often customers who care more about you. So you end up cultivating better customers that require less support load, which ends up costing you less. And you get on a flywheel that is, the goal is profit, right?
Yeah.
The goal is to profit on your store, not to maximize your ROAS figures. And I get it, but it's not the best thing.
Totally. Like, imagine if Facebook banned you. Just think about that. I know your mind probably doesn't want to go there, but just imagine that. And that's actually, like, it's so funny you bring that up, Nick, because that's the exact reason why we do email at Wavebreak. Because in the beginning, I was building landing pages and helping with Facebook ads. But then what happened was one of my biggest clients, you know, multi-million dollar online retailer. They later went on to get successfully funded by Shark Tank, and just they're killing it now. But what happened was one summer, they were spending over six figures on ads every single month, like well into the six figures. And they're just spending a ton of money on these ads, and they're just killing it, right? They're making, I forget what the exact numbers were, but they were making it rain. And they're like, Dylan, we need you to help us. Like, we want to make sure our landing pages are good to go, blah, blah, blah. That's what my business was at the time. And I was like, sweet. So I get locked and loaded. I'm starting to help them. I'm starting to work on them. And then one day, I realized, I'm like, well, these landing pages, they're not getting any traffic. This is weird. And I get a call from the CEO of the company. And he goes, hey, bad news. And I'm like, oh, no. What happened? And basically, long story short, what happened was other brands had come into the space, bigger brands. So think like a brand like the size of like, I don't know, something like Nike or like Under Armour, that sort of thing. They came into the space, and now these guys come into the space and they're spending like 10 times that, right? They're spending like $1 million, $2 million on ads a month, or I forget what it was, some crazy number per day. I forget what it was, but it's just a number that like this company didn't even make in a year. and they were a decent sized company. Like I said, multi-million dollar retailer. And all their traffic, because they couldn't compete from an ad spend perspective, just because it got so competitive, just disappeared. just disappeared. And I saw that and I was like, what can I do? First of all, I mean, they had to let me go. So I was like, crap. What can I do?
So you can't do much.
Right. Well, I'm like, what else can I do? So like, I'm not, this is like, I was indirectly dependent on Facebook as well. So I was like, what can I do to get myself off this? And I started doing more and more research. I have a marketing background and I just kept diving into it. I was like trying different things. Like I was doing SEO for a while and I thought that was it. And then the whole Google thing is the same way. Like, right? They release an update with the name of an animal every few months, and that animal becomes your worst nightmare. And it's the same with Facebook. And I did a bunch of different things, like trying, testing. I come across email, and I'm like, this old thing. Man, this, like, I dust off email. It's like I found it in the attic, and I, like, dust it off. I'm, like, blowing on it to get it to work. I'm like, what is this? And then I'm like, holy crap, it still works. And it's killing it. And obviously, it's not the same as it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Like, you have to do things totally different now, and it's still always changing just as fast as everything else.
Yeah.
But it's still just, I mean, Nick, do you check your email?
I have my email client open right now, and it is ambiently, like, if you, dear listener, just wanted to send me garbage right now, it would interrupt my brain a little bit on this podcast.
Right.
So yes, I check my email.
It works. When people run out of Instagram to check, they run out of things to do on their phone. You can see this. Go on. We were talking about public transportation before this call, but before, like, the next time you get on the subway, you get on the whatever, look at the people around you. Once they run out of Facebook and they run out of Instagram, they check their email and they go,
just keep flipping down on the email. They're like,
and then they're like,
someone email me.
They're like, screw work. Click the promotions tab. Ooh, this looks nice. Bookmark. I'm save that for later. Ooh, this looks good. Bookmark. Save that for later. Like, I was literally watching a lady do that the other day. And I was just like, huh, that's funny. I was looking for an email that I did, but.
Email is the oldest technology that still converts, you know? It predates Facebook. It predates Google. It predates banner ads. It predates the web, you know? And people have been selling stuff through email since before I was born, and I'm old. So I think that, looking at it that way, like, there are established practices, they shift over time, but the fundamental idea of connecting with a customer over email, that hasn't changed. And it's a front that I see so much of modern e-commerce. They want the sexy new thing, and I am here to tell you that the boring old thing is great, and you're probably not giving it as much love as you possibly could be.
Absolutely. If you want an ATM, like the closest thing to an ATM that just prints money on demand for you that you didn't put in it beforehand is email and e-commerce right now. It's just, it's crazy. It's awesome.
I couldn't agree more. If you look at ways... I often try and enter markets where I see that there's not a whole lot of competitors because they're easier to capture the market. Email. I know it sounds crazy, but email.
Yeah, it's so true. And yeah, so you dropped so much value. We don't need to add anything else to people's to-do lists. I think we gave them enough to do and to think about. If you want more to do, just re-listen to this episode. You'll hear something you missed and you'll have something else to do.
If you want, after the 20 minutes it takes you to subscribe to all of your own emails, you can also get my course on e-commerce email mastery called E-commerce Email Mastery, and then you have 2 weeks to listen to all of the stuff on that.
Yeah, do it. If that's the only thing you do for email, do it. And I'm recommending this. Also hire me, but
then hire Dylan.
Yeah. But I'm a member of the E-commerce Email Mastery. What are you calling it? Is it a course? Is it a?
It's like a mini course. I mean, it's I wouldn't call it like my big flagship A/B testing course with 7 hours of video or anything like that. But you should be able to go through at least the PDFs in a couple days and build out all of the email sequences that you need and do the heuristic evaluations in a couple of weeks. Right. So it's not like a full bore thing, but you will make your money back on it very quickly, given how untapped of a segment email is for a lot of people, how much people get addicted to return on ad spend, and what the potential upsides are for capturing lost revenue. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't do that if you followed all the directions in it.
Absolutely. I mean, investing in anything email related, especially this course, like, it's free. It doesn't cost any money because you just do one thing and it's paid for itself. Not only is it just paid for, but it's profitable. Like, you're making a profit off it. And what's awesome about Nick's like mini course is it's mini in a good way. Like, every week, like, he's still releasing, like, it's not officially, like, complete, so you can still get, if you're listening to this now, I don't know when this episode's gonna air actually, but like
before April probably.
Yeah, definitely. So it's definitely gonna be before April. So if you're listening to this before April 20, it's 2019, right? Yeah, 2019, had to double check. Then it's not even the full price, so you can get it at a discount, and it's only, what is each one, like 30 minutes long?
Yeah, like 20 to 30. There are a couple short ones because people sometimes just don't
they don't do anything.
Email. But it's usually like 20-30 minutes. Yeah,
and there's no fluff, so it's just like, if you watch Facebook videos or if you watch YouTube videos, don't act like you don't. I know you do.
I do.
Watch one of these instead. You won't feel guilty because it's like, yeah, I'm helping my business grow, and you're gonna learn so much. It only takes a few of these for it to just sink in and for you to realize, like, one of my clients, and I'll give you an example, like, we started working together in May of last year, and I made them over $1 million in revenue. And if we didn't ever start working together, that revenue, because they were so focused on their ads, and it's not like they had any extra time that they could just, you know, create, they had to worry about their product, getting more product, they're growing really fast. But like, that revenue, that like $1.4 million, it would have just poof, gone. It wouldn't have even existed. And if you're listening to this in the beginning of 2019, you're lucky because you can get things dialed in before you're one of those last minute people who are like heads on fire. It's November 20th. You're like, crap, Black Friday's next week. I should probably have an email list.
You have 10 and a half months until Black Friday, and they will probably go by faster than you think.
Totally. Like, snap, they're gone. So start now before it's too late. Go check that out. I'm going to link that up down in the show notes below. I'm going to link up all Nick's stuff. He's been on the show before as well. Like I said in the beginning of the show, I'm going to link his past episode. We dive into conversion rate optimization from more of a design perspective. And that's a really great episode. I highly recommend it. It was one of the first ever episodes I released. So if you want a little throwback and you want to see how I used to sound, you can go listen to that one too. Because I sound a lot different now. You do over 50 of these and it's just like you're a different person.
You get a hang of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, go listen to that. That's another great episode. Go do what Nick told you to. Number one, create that email address and just sign up for your own email list. It's super simple. It doesn't get easier than that. And then number two, check out his course if you're interested. Like I said, the link is going to be down in the show notes below. The only reason I'm recommending it is because, well, number one, you need it. And number two, I'm a member of it and I've already gotten so much value out of it. And I do email for a living. So that has to say something. Anyway, Nick, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it. Before we sign off, do you have any last things to end on?
You aren't paying enough attention to your customers and you should be emailing them better things.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man. If listeners want to learn more about you, where should they go?
They can go to draft.nu is where I have all of my stuff. If you want to go to the email course straight away from here, you can go to draft.nu/email. And thank you so much for having me on this podcast. It was a pleasure coming back and always lovely talking to you.
Absolutely, man. I really appreciate you coming on. Love talking email. It's like one of my favorite things to talk about. So awesome. Super awesome. And I love talking to you, Nick. So combining both of them, this is going to be, I'm so excited to release this episode, and I hope you listeners get a ton of value out of it. Definitely check Nick's stuff out. It's great. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you guys on the next episode next week. So that about wraps up this episode. If you are listening to this show and you do not have email in your store and you want to add it, but you just do not have the time, I get it. It's hard. Like, you are wearing so many different hats, especially as a store owner. Even if you're not a store owner, just time is something that, well, frankly, it doesn't grow on trees. and we can't get more of it. We all have the same 24 hours in the day. And it makes sense that email so often gets pushed around and gets put on the back burner. But you can't afford to do that. You need to focus on email. And if you want to turn email into a top revenue driver for your brand this year without wasting any more time, reach out to me. Go to wavebreak.co and apply to work with me. All you got to do is click the button. It'll send you the next steps. You'll fill out a quick form telling me about your business. And then from there, we'll hop on a call and we'll talk through things and we'll see if the service makes sense for you. But basically, what we do is everything Nick talked about. So first things first, we hop in and we build out. We get all your bases covered from an automated standpoint. We build out everything, your abandoned cart series, your welcome series, your browser abandonment series, a ton of different flows just to completely capture the entire customer lifecycle from an email perspective. And then from there, we get to work on optimizing it. So we start with the best practices, and then it's time to take things to the next level. So not only do you get your bases covered, but then even better, you get things really dialed in. And that's when that growth that I talked about starts to happen. Another thing we take care of is all of your one-off campaigns. So your email campaigns, for example, you know, holiday campaigns, product launches, the seasonal things, just the one-off broadcast emails that you send out. We take care of those too. You won't have to worry about anything email besides a phone call every single month. It's just a super, we took the process and we made it super simple for store owners. And that's exactly why I started Wavebreak. And if you want to be a part of it and you want to take your email revenue and make it a top revenue driver in your store, head over to wavebreak.co and request a call. Go apply to work with me. And before you know it, we'll be on a call and we'll be getting your email on track to just kill it in 2019. And like I said, one of my clients, if we didn't start working together last year, they would have missed out on over $1 million in revenue. And I imagine for you, that number is big as well. So do not miss out on that revenue. You're going to be kicking yourself come December if you look back and your email revenue isn't where you think it should have been. Don't let that happen. Reach out to me. I'll help you get things back on track. All you got to do is head over to wavebreak.co and get started. That's all I got for you guys today. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did enjoy it, please, I would really appreciate a review on iTunes. It helps other people find the podcast, and it is really motivating for me when I see your kind words. So anyway, that's all I got for you guys. I will see you next Monday in the newest episode as well. I will talk to you guys soon. Have a great rest of your day.